Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome in to today's FreightWaves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix, and we are here on this Wednesday catching up with the one and only Alan Adler. We're going to talk a little truck tech. And Alan, today we've got a pretty exciting three-way partnership to talk about, and not necessarily brand new news, but news that is continuing to develop. Talk to us a little bit about Greenlane.
Yeah, Greenlane, well-named, I think. It is a joint venture, I suppose, is the best way to call it, between Daimler Truck North America, NextEra Energy, and BlackRock, their investment part of BlackRock, which basically is working on what will eventually be a nationwide infrastructure for electric trucks. Medium and heavy duty are the primary focus. They'll do some hydrogen eventually as well. But it's a big number. It's over $650 million that they're putting into it. They're just now beginning to launch their first sites, which will sort of be in that corridor between Los Angeles and Las Vegas, and then next to Southern Nevada and some other places like that. The big focus for these guys will be West Coast, East Coast, and then sort of the what's called the Texas Triangle, you know, San Antonio and Dallas and Houston. And so, lots of work to do to get both sites as well as, you know, energy onto site, things like that. So Patrick McDonald King, who is the CEO formerly of EV Connect, took that job last September. He's now bringing it closer to launch. They will launch the first three sites this year. So we just have a good discussion, sort of all things infrastructure with him.
So we all know from all of our conversations about EVs and alternative fuels and drop-in fuels and this transition to cleaner energy that everybody's big question is always infrastructure, right? And there's really not a whole lot of clarity around it when we talk about infrastructure. We say like, this is a problem like that we're working on and we're thinking about it. But this investment in the partnership with BlackRock, I think, adds a lot of credibility and tangibility to the future of these infrastructure developments, right? We see private equity seeing that this is a very viable investment. What type of message does this send to our other folks who are looking at developing infrastructure now that we see Greenlane and Daimler and NextEra having this backing from a really prolific private equity firm?
Yeah, I think the numbers really do matter. I mean, size counts and the ability to actually get things in the ground. I mean, these guys, of course, NextEra Energy and BlackRock both have a substantial amount of experience in some of the things that you need, obviously financing from a BlackRock perspective. But NextEra Energy knows a lot about the grid. They know a lot about where sites are, what are the best places to do electric charging. I mean, is it just a question of, you know, throwing up 170,000 gasoline stations like we've done over the decades in the U.S.? You've got to pick your spots, and you've got to pick both where energy is easily available, you know, probably from the grid, primarily from the grid. And then you've also got to make sure that it's somewhere where the trucks are going to be, where they need charging and where they need reliable charging. Among the things that Greenlane's talked about is being, you know, available or uptime 97% or greater. That's huge because a lot of what you're hearing right now about electric charging, especially for passenger cars, is that you pull in to charge, you'll find out the charger's out of service. And that's more than a little bit of the problem out there with electric charging. So as Greenlane begins to, you know, sort of, what's the term he uses? You can call it go live with these sites. They want to make sure they're reliable because, you know, unlike a passenger car where, you know, a delay might be it's sort of aggravating, it costs money when it's a truck that's involved. So their goal is, as I said, you know, high uptime and reliability and that sort of thing. And they're also picking to start with kind of the intersection between kind of the 215 and the 10 out in the West, which is big truck area, a lot of regional haul and things like that that are going to need both topped off and then charged for longer periods. They're also looking heavily at megawatt charging, which is not irrelevant today because no trucks can handle those large loads, so load charging loads, but they will at some point. And it's interesting that, you know, they're looking at sort of the Oregon or Washington area too. And one of the first megawatt chargers in the country is located very near Daimler's headquarters on what's called Swan Island in Portland. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that will ultimately, sort of distinguish the winners in terms of the infrastructure space, because you've got to be able to get your charging time down to around the time it takes to fill a diesel truck with fuel or a hydrogen truck. And again, I mentioned, you know, Greenlane does plan to offer, you know, hydrogen fills as well. So, you know, we'll see where all this goes, but they seem to have every partner and every piece of it figured out. It just takes time to implement it.
So, Alan, questioning about that partner piece, let's talk a little bit about the public aspect of this, right? Because obviously, if we're talking about being in California and Texas, two states where infrastructure and grid infrastructure in particular is very much dependent on either privately owned co-ops. If you're out in Texas, some spots, you know, it's kind of a mismatch of electricity providers versus the publicly owned utility grid, the ones that are funded by the state. Is there any of that type of talk going on between public-private partnerships of this kind of trio and also working with those state providers to make sure that the grid itself, the actual power grid that is run in your states, is able to support their ventures?
I think the answer has to be yes. I mean, you're not going to go to someone who doesn't have a viable grid or has a grid. I mean, they want as much green energy as they can, which means, you know, they'll have solar or alternative fuel type availability at every site, you know, because they obviously have to protect for the periods when, you know, there might be a disruption in power, which, you know, can happen. We saw that, 2 years ago in Texas with that ice storm. So, you know, I think this is something that, you know, they're looking at and trying for resiliency everywhere they can get it. That's kind of a big word, but it does apply in the case of charging networks, you know, to be able to do that. I also should mention, you know, that in terms of data gathering, they're also working with Uber Freight to look at some of the data they have in terms of where these trucks go and things like that, and where the charging is most needed. I mean, remember, this is a for-profit operation. This is not something that is, you know, altruistic. So, you know, they are 100% public charging. This is not behind the fence or private charging like some of the things that are being developed are, but rather this is, you know, truly along the highways, a kind of infrastructure. And it's the kind of thing that at this point, more and more is needed. It's not a question of, you know, shutting anybody out. You didn't really ask this question, but I think it's important to say that, you know, their competition at this point are also cooperators, because, you know, you've got to build an infrastructure and it needs much more than we have today. I think the figure we used recently was there's roughly 60,000 public charging sites for cars in this country, and there are 10 public charging sites for trucks. So you can see the disparity, and you can also see where the greatest need is.
If you build it, the trucks will charge, is what it sounds like. So that's the show coming up later on today.
With lots of paperweights, right?
Really. Absolutely. Big paperweights. Absolutely. So that's the show for today. Coming up this week for the newsletter, that'll be Friday, you've got a little bit of a new segment that you're trying on for Size. Talk to us a bit about who we're catching up with.
Yeah, well, it's called Catching Up With. I mean, that may not be the most original title you've ever heard, but it's something that is applicable here, because we've talked with Daniel Barrow from ReAutomotive. They have some very interesting technology around by-wire driving that is completely driving without any mechanical connections. They have already now gotten, you know, the sign-off for this. It's the first company that has completely by-wire system for powertrain or for driving. And that means the brakes and the steering and the motors and everything all operate by sensor rather than by mechanical connection. That's huge, really. I mean, it's been talked about for years. But to actually pull all that together, and then they have this, I think unique is the right word, re-corner device that basically puts all the powers at the four wheels. All of the connections, again, not mechanical connections, rather, but all the sensors, everything are there. And that opens up the whole floor for batteries and that sort of thing. So they are now in testing with their first vehicles. The system itself is being imported from the UK right now. It will be assembled later this year. They'll start full assembly at a yet unnamed company that will do the upfitting or the pulling together, you know, like a Fontaine modification, although that's not necessarily who it is. But they will have all those together. They've got some vehicles in testing now. Their P7C chassis, which is a class 4 chassis, takes up to 16,000 pounds of cargo. So really just a great catch up with Daniel Barrow on what they're doing and what they're up to. You'll probably see more catching up with over time. We can name this thing anything we want, really, but the 5 minutes with thing has caught on pretty well. They seem to do pretty well out there when we split them out of the newsletter and put them on YouTube for people to look at. So we'll keep doing that.
There you go. Well, Alan, thank you for joining us here this morning. And of course, we will see you later on this afternoon for Truck Tech, the show. We can subscribe to that Truck Tech newsletter and catch it Friday afternoons or Friday mornings right here from FreightWaves.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.